This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pork-eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al, and it's Memorial Day.
Yes, it is, and glad to be here, and, you know, well wishes to all of our veterans, and on this Memorial Day, and remembering the soldiers lost while defending our great republic. So, Memorial Day, wishes to everybody.
Yes, and, you know, brave men and women who sacrificed their lives and gave the ultimate to protect the liberties and the freedoms here in the United States. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the ultimate sacrifice. So, hey, quick news over the weekend, and obviously we also like to start off with the PGA news, and well, before we get to our business at hand, Jason Kokrak held off American Texan Jordan Spieth to win the famed Colonial, the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial by 2 strokes. Spieth, who was a leader or co-leader for the first 3 of the 4 days, could not hold off a hungry Jason Kokrak, who notched his second PGA Tour victory on Sunday, shooting an even par 70, while Spieth, who was looking for his 13th PGA Tour win, he struggled, man. He shot a 3-over 73, and Kokrak played very well, had a few hiccups along the way, especially on holes 15 and 16 when he bogeyed both of those, but he kept it together and he parred the last 2 holes to secure his victory. Jason Kokrak is 36 years old and it's his second PGA Tour victory. And the coolest thing about that is he's got 2 wins this year. So his first 2 wins are this year. So did you happen to watch it this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. And it was back and forth Saturday and Sunday. It was a very good match. There's no question about it. And
And
you never give up. Never give up. He was down by a couple and then caught back up, went up by one, down by one. And it was just back and forth. It was a battle.
Really was. And when Spieth birdied 18 on Saturday, it's like they take a one-shot lead. But, oh, okay. Then he pipes that drive on Sunday in the first hole, and then after that, he just went right downhill. He just couldn't do anything. Couldn't hit the backside of a barn. Fortunately for Jason Kokrak, he notched his second victory. Yesterday was racing day. It was traditional racing weekend. Memorial Day racing weekend. It starts out with the Indy 500. If you happen to watch that, I'm an Indy 500 fan. I've been for a number of years. And yesterday, the Indianapolis 500 ran. 135,000 fans attended. 135,000 people attended. That is just freaking great. Good kudos to Indiana. Kudos to the Indianians. If that's what you're called, I'm sorry, but it was, you know what? It was great to see. What was even better was Helio Castroneves, age 46, won his fourth Indianapolis 500. He came from behind on lap 198 of 200, past I forgot what the hell is his name, on the outside, and he drove to victory. So this year we had Tom Brady, age 44. He wins his, 48th Super Bowl. Last week at age 50, you had Phil Mickelson winning the PGA Championship. And yesterday, Helio Castroneves wins the Indianapolis 500, his fourth Indy 500. He joins three others. He joins A.J. Foyt, the great A.J. Foyt, Al Unser and Rick Mears. To be the only man to win the Indianapolis 500 four times. With two laps ago, Castroneves passed Alex Palou, who drives for Chip Ganassi. So if you're a racing fan, you know the name Chip Ganassi. The guy held on, man. And Spider-Man is his nickname. So when after Helio wins a race, he jumps out of his car. He stops the car, of course, but jumps out of his car and climbs the fence, and separates the fans from the racetrack, and the fans go nuts. And he did it again yesterday. And when he jumped down from the fence, he was quite emotional, and it was really cool to see that that Helio Castroneves wins his fourth Indy 500. It's a great feat. If you're a racing fan, even if you're not, if you just like the Indy 500, it was cool to see the man win. And of course, you drink the celebratory quart of milk after the victory. So, congratulations. And Chief, you're right. 135,000 people all together for a super spreader event. The leftists must all had heart attacks. They did, you know, and it's, unfortunately, you know, the leftists are crazy. I'm sure Fauci is going to another statement, who knows what, but, you know, the Americans shouldn't get their lives back together. You should be indentured to the federal government, and you make sure you get your vaccine, and just let's throw out all of the HIPAA laws, let's throw out all the privacy laws, and just comply with the government edicts. Of just handing over your personal information and, vaccine passports. the longest race. Oh, it's happening. Without a doubt, it's happening. I went through it last week, as a matter of fact. And I stood my ground, though. I said,
what happened?
I can't answer. Well,
can you go into it on the edges?
Yeah, I was asked why wasn't I wearing a mask, and I said there's a no mask mandate. The mask mandate was waived, and besides that, if you see these, if you get the shots, if you get the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. And if you have the antibodies, says, well, did you get the shot? I said, well, I refused to answer that because of the HIPAA laws. I don't have to disclose that. And they said, you got the shot. It's like, well, you didn't get the shot. That's what they said. Like, excuse me. It's a privacy issue. Okay. We have privacy laws here, and part of the privacy laws are protected under HIPAA. So I don't have to answer that. Well, you have to wear a mask. I'm not wearing a mask. So kind of, they got
so pissy and stuff. How did it end? Who won?
I didn't. Yep. I just sat there. I said, I'm not providing you with any information. It's a HIPAA law. So, I mean,
did you go, my body, my choice? And
you
then,
know,
and then,
I did not.
And then throw your arms up in the air in a very gay way?
I wish I would have said, I wish I would have thought of that. That was really my body.
My body, my choice. My body, my choice. Don't be mean.
I didn't even think of that. Damn it. Gosh, where the hell were you, man? You should have been sitting next to me.
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you that when you're in a it is a confrontational situation, because that takes some real balls for somebody to come up and ask you these kind of information and try to demand that you wear a mask when it's not even mandated.
Right.
Who the hell does this person think they are?
Well, and then right away they
say some turkey.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, I saw somebody jogging the other this morning actually with the friggin' mask on. It's like, oh my God, I wanted to stop. Get to take your damn mask off. You're gonna kill yourself. Oh my God, it's insane. So
yeah,
at the
Indianapolis, there are very few masks on the golf tour. As well, very few masks in the crowd.
Correct.
And if you want to wear a mask, great. But if you don't, then you don't. And the majority of people said, no mask.
No mask. No mask.
Yeah.
Same thing.
No mask.
Agreed.
No mask.
No mask.
They weren't Catholic, but of course they said no mask. Hey, we're not Catholic.
We're not Catholic. No mask. Hey, I'm Jewish. Hey.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think, no mask for me.
No mask.
And I won't wear a mask either, at mask.
So NASCAR's longest race was held last night, the Coca-Cola 600. And the race was won from start to finish by the number 5 Hendrick's car, driven by Kyle Larson. He dominated the race. If you happen to watch that, it was a day of racing. He won all 4 stages. NASCAR has the stage events, and they stop after mandatory pit stops and all that. Anyways, Kyle Larson won all 4 stages, and he held off Chase Elliott in the number 9 car to take the checkered flag, and it was the 269th victory for Rick Hendricks, who passes now the great Richard Petty. So it was a day of records yesterday. It seemed like in racing, with Helio Castroneves, you know, age 46, winning his 4th Indy 500. And then last night, Rick Hendricks wins his 269th team race. And Kyle Larson won, dominated from start to finish. So it was really cool. It was a cool race yesterday at Charlotte. 600 miles. That's by far the longest race that they have of the year. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And did you hear about Communist Camilla? I should say Communist Cackles Camilla. Communist Cackles Camilla had a little bit of controversy. You know, one thing about the Marxists and the Communists, they don't have reverence for America nor the United States military. So both her and dictator Joe Biden, you know, they treat, you know, Memorial Day as a holiday and enjoy yourself. And it's just, you know, forget about everything else and enjoy the long weekend. Okay. That's how caring, you know, these communists are, these Marxists are. And this is exactly what Communist Cackles Camilla, you know, tweeted out. And she got blasted for it on Twitter. Enjoy your long weekend. That was it. And a picture of herself smiling. And, of course, what else would Cackles be doing but smiling or sleeping with, you know, Willie. But that was bad. So Vice President Cackles Camilla drew heat on the line Saturday for telling Americans to enjoy the long weekend, which ends with the National Day of Mourning. Harris tweeted the celebratory words Saturday afternoon alongside a picture of herself smiling. She did not mention Memorial Day, the upcoming federal holiday reserved for honoring military members who have died protecting the United States. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how the communists, how the Marxists all want to sidestep this? They avoid, you know, paying respects to the very people who have kept this constitutional republic moving forward. And, you know, it's really sad that we have a president and vice president, these two frauds, you know, who decided that, you know, now it's a great, you know, they just wanted the crowd, have a great weekend. It's a long weekend. Oh, okay. Reactions to the tweet were largely negative and sarcastic, with one user replying, "I've never been able to enjoy Memorial Day. It became that much harder when I lost my son fighting for this country. Thanks anyway, Madam Vice President." And Long Island Representative Lee Zeldin finished Harris's short sentence, where, you know, she said that, enjoy a long weekend, and Zeldin said ... and tribute to the courageous men and women of our nation's military who sacrificed their lives in defense of our freedoms and liberties. So kudos to Representative Lee Zeldin for stating what the supposed vice president should have stated. You know, instead, she's just one of the crowd. Just, oh, have a good weekend. You know, tackles Harris, you know, and laughing. Staunch supporters of the Democrat fired back at her detractors 2 days ahead of the national. Harris done more to respect and honor soldiers and vets in 6 months than the previous administration did 4 years. Back off. Really? Now, that's a new narrative. When I read that statement, I thought, wow, that's a rewriting of history. You've got Cackles Harris doing more for vets and soldiers in the last 6 months than the previous 4 years. What are you? Are you smoking pot? I mean, is this person really that stupid and that dumb or ignorant that they must rewrite history? You think Cackle Harris and dictator Joe Biden has done more for the military in 6 months than President Trump did for 4 years? You are absolutely a lunatic. Oh, well, that's true. The National Guard was dispatched to Washington, D.C., and they did put them up in parking garages and so they could sleep on the cement floors. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Give me a break. So Cackles Harris mired herself in a little bit of a controversy. And again, they just don't get it. These Marxists don't care. You know, this is about the love of country, and they forget about the love of country, and they forget about the sacrifices American men and women have given. You know, over 1.6 million men and women of the military paid the ultimate sacrifices with their lives, and it's really sad that we have two Marxists sitting in the White House and as president and vice president who can't recognize this, who refuse to recognize this. And it's absolutely sickening that the disrespect that continues to be shown for our country and for the men and women who have served this great nation.
Well, 1 hour ago, she did cover herself, Vice President Harris. She put out a tweet, and I quote, first she had a big picture of tombstones at Arlington all in a row with the American flag. She said, quote, "We honor those members of our military who sacrificed their lives in order to defend our freedoms. We owe these heroes and their loved ones everything, not just on Memorial Day, Vito Esposito, but every day," she said.
There you go.
She didn't address you directly, but she thought about it. And okay, all right, made a mistake. I'll go ahead and put this out, and this will be better, even though I don't mean it. She probably had one of her people do it.
Yeah, 2 days
later.
It
means nothing to her.
No.
It means nothing at all to her.
Hey, and why should it? Because there's no accountability. You know, the DNC media will cover for these two frauds. The DNC media seems to go ahead and just you know, brush off this anti-American sentiment that oozes out from these two frauds. And you know, they were up Trump's ass for 4 years, making stuff up, and they were blowing things out of proportion, taking things out of context. And now we look at these two frauds, you know, dictator Joe Biden and communist Cackles, and they just seem to sidestep everything. No accountability. So what does she care? You know, 2 days later, the response comes out Saturday. She goes into hiding Sunday and most of today, does her gig at Arlington Cemetery, and then finally releases a statement. You know, this is the frauds. I got to tell you, and since we're on Memorial Day, our big fat soft underbelly, Belly, did a belly blast. It's about close to 12 minutes. And I have to tell you, Belly, I know you're in the room. It was one of the best belly blasts. It was outstanding. And I asked him if we can play it, and he agreed. And I think I want to take this time to play it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards, because Belly hits all of the points. He hits it. And, you know, there's a theme that you will hear Belly talk about, I believe. And you know, what was uplifting about the blast is that it was positive, because we forget, you know, we're being conditioned by the left wing, by the communists and Marxists to woke and to everything is white nationalism and white supremacy and white is bad and, you know, America is bad, 1619, and all of the misinformation about America's foundings. And Belly nails it. And it takes a naturalized citizen who has reverence for the United States of America, moved here to the United States for the right reason, and came here legally, didn't have to jump any walls, at least that's what he tells us, but no, he didn't have to jump any walls didn't have to go, you know, bypass Border Patrol. He did it the right way. And so have millions of others. And that's the sad part of it, is that there are people who have come to the United States, migrated to the United States the right way, and they understand America. They understand about freedom and liberty. I mean, I have friends that have come from South America, have migrated from Israel and from other countries who went the legal route, and they love America. And they love America for its liberties and for its freedoms. And so Belly's blast was really good. And I'm going to play it now, and Alan, I'll be right back.
Yes, I still believe. On arriving in the US in 2000, I was positively impacted by the fact that there was a strong Christian vein running through this country. There was a patriotism I'd never previously experienced. And people lauded and complimented small and medium-sized businessmen and women. However, due to the US hating communist cockroaches on both sides of the aisle in the DC cesspool, this has now changed dramatically for the worse. In the first edition of my 2004 book, Our Big Fat Soft Underbelly, I wrote about how America was like a giant whale basking in the sun out on the ocean with the international enemy tossing harpoons at it, while on the inside of that whale the domestic enemy was surgically gutting and cutting it to pieces. That analogy was so true. However, it's now way worse than most ever imagined. Since I began doing podcasts in 2011 on Blog Talk Radio initially and then on Spreaker, I've addressed a wide variety of international and domestic topics that impact the US. In an unapologetic, politically incorrect, raw fashion, I've hammered the vile vermin who are obsessed with destroying all that is good and great in this republic. Now, in reviewing how I expend my energy as a 70-something senior, but a massively fired-up patriot, I know full well that I could certainly deal with three or four of these urban terrorists from Antifa or Black Lives Matter on my own. But the reality is that the body doesn't jump, dive, roll and run as fast as it once did. Ranting to the converted about the news of the day, topics that you should be well aware of anyway if you have your eyes open, is simply echo chambering. Consequently, I'm going to take a slightly different angle. And here we are, respecting and valuing Memorial Day this weekend, a day that has been acknowledged since 1868. The very weekend and the day where the USA honors and mourns those golden, most precious, selfless, dedicated heroes who gave their all, fighting and sacrificing for our nation's liberties and freedoms. This very respectful, reverent time, Memorial Day, should in itself be a sharp reminder to all America First MAGA patriots to review, re-energize and refresh our mindsets. Freedom is not free. Over recent months, many US-loving citizens, conservatives, some Democrats and independents have walked off the political playing field, disgusted by the lack of accountable actions by federal law enforcement agencies, disgusted by criminally corrupt elections and the coup takeover of our White House, outraged at the Supreme Court's betrayal, coupled with and disgusted by the tyrannical commie COVID mandates, many saying they can do nothing, many saying they've had enough, many saying they'll never vote again. And in all honesty, at one point I even said that myself, until I gave myself a serious talking to. Like myself, many were greatly disheartened with the perpetual procrastination mantra of, it's coming. It's coming. The CIA-generated misinformation and disinformation program unleashed through our mainstream media and social media has conned and conditioned way too many of us to become disillusioned, to become deeply disappointed, docile, and cynical. As the introduction music clip to this podcast states, I believe. And those two words have constantly rained in upon me in recent months of reflection. And when I say I believe in the mighty USA. I believe in my God. I believe in our Constitution. I believe in the very foundation of our nation. I believe. So instead of verbally battering the wickedly vile vermin and the enemy within, I'm going to put my energy into not just reminding America First and MAGA patriots, but also reminding myself of the outstanding and already proven exceptional successes of this unique republic. I will not cower from these faceless, filth, New World Order, Illuminati, demonic dirtbags. Neither should any of you. Interestingly, I've got to tell you this. I've recently become very encouraged when talking with some of our younger generation patriots. Actually, they were in their 20s, their 30s, and their 40s, and some were actually in their local militia groups. And these youngsters have unknowingly fired me up with their passion for this country. It was really refreshing to witness. However, at this lamentable time in our juvenile history, where the magnificent, unique U.S. Republic and its well-intentioned foundations have been inexcusably savaged by treasonous, traitorous citizens, I've wrestled internally as how best I can contribute towards the energy needed to recapture our nation. Our self-serving, corrupt politicians, regardless of what flavor they claim they are with few exceptions, the enemy within. Tyrannical governors aided by their compliant, obedient police. Officials in our federal agencies have abrogated their oaths and now serve the Illuminati, faceless filth. Our Supreme Court has chosen subversive sedition and betrayal ahead of any allegiance to our republic. Our mean slime media are CIA-controlled treasonous traitors. Yes, I know. I could blow V8 incessantly along these lines. I could rant, I could rave, I could cuss, and I could curse from the rooftops, highlighting the dastardly deeds of the vile individuals who have the absolute temerity to call themselves Americans. Well, after years of punching hard on social media, attending rallies in various states and making the occasional speech, and now over the 6 months since our stolen election, I've wrestled with the challenges that stare at us. I've been interstate, intrastate, I've sought factual information at grassroots level. And recently, during several days virtually off the grid, reality came my way. The indomitable, unconquerable spirit of true US MAGA American First Patriots is so steadfast and so staunch that no enemy, foreign or domestic, will ever be able to cling to power. Our determined desire to live in liberty and freedom is paramount. If we fail, then the entire Western world will wilt also. Everything that we have ever done and known and cared for in our Western way of life will wither and fade. The abundant blessings we have savored will be no more as we sit in this putrid, dark abyss of unprincipled, unethical, lawless immorality. Communist Western leaders, coupled with perverted satanic science, will prolong this agonizing darkness. Well, as a red, white, and blue, patriotically embedded, constitution-loving U.S. citizen, I believe in our freedoms. Our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our God-given rights. I believe in life, a liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe in this amazing experiment that is the USA Republic. I believe in my naturalization oath of citizenship. I will stand strong, and I will use whatever God-given skills and talents I have to generate energy, to ignite fire, to add and inflame enthusiasm in the hearts and in the minds of my dear U.S. America First brothers and sisters, as we all use our individual strengths and talents to retrieve and regain control of this nation. My energies will not be wasted to lambaste, attack, nor deride the heinous, evil enemy within. All of you should be patently aware of what and who they are by now anyway. My energies will be placed into emphasizing the goodness, highlighting the greatness, voicing the virtuousness, invoking integrity, embracing decency, principles, standards, and ethics, the amazing, positive immensity of what we have here on our American soil. We must lift ourselves, we must re-energize ourselves, and we must proactively ensure that we never falter, that we never flag, that we never fail. Appeasement is no option. No way do we ever skulk away into a corner, because true patriots never cower. We take our stand for freedom. We take our stand for our generation. And more importantly, we take a stand for our children and our grandchildren, just as our great-grandparents, grandparents, and parents did it for us. God bless the USA. Remember this, we're a bunch of very diverse people, but we've all got the same embedded goal, to take back our country under a foundational constitution. The thing is this, you'll never walk alone. You've got like-minded friends and patriots out there, all rooting for the same thing. Put hope in your heart and walk forward. Put hope in your heart and step forward. Let's do it.
Belly, that was outstanding. And as Iggy well Mott said, beautiful, Belly. Golf dogs, well said, Sir John. So you nailed it on so many fronts. And freedom is not free. And that's what Memorial Day is about. It's not just a long weekend. you hit it on so many points, that tyrannical commie COVID mandates. Boy, does that really sum up the last year, doesn't it? Perpetual procrastination. You know, it's coming, it's coming. Conditioning us, conditioning Americans. And this conditioning has led to a negativity. But the theme, I believe, was beautiful. It was well-crafted. I believe in the mighty USA. I believe in my God. I believe in our U.S. Constitution. And that's something that Washington, D.C., those in Washington, D.C., the majority of Washington, D.C., have failed America. They have failed the constitutional republic. You believe in the very foundation of our nation. You believe in freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and you believe in the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is the crux. That is the foundation of our nation. The amazing experiment that is the United States Republic. Billy, you hit it out of the park on this one. You also pointed out about the conditioning of Americans to be complacent, the conditioning of Americans to believe that you're a victim, conditioning Americans that we are white supremacists if we're anything but a person of color, conditioning Americans to believe that America is not the greatest, conditioning to believe that their interpretation of the laws and Constitution are what matters. And I mean what the communist interpretation, the Marxist interpretation of our laws and our Constitution, that's what matters. They want to condition us to believe that America was founded on an illicit and assorted way. We must fight these lies. We must fight the conditioning of complacency. We must fight the conditioning of Marxism and communism. Communism is antithetical to America's foundings and our principles. Today, we remember the fallen American men and women of the United States military who gave their lives, who sacrificed, and they paid the ultimate price. They paid the ultimate price to preserve the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy today, we've enjoyed yesterday, and we are to enjoy tomorrow in the preservation of our constitutional republic. And appeasement is not an option. Belly, fantastic. Outstanding.
Agree with you 100%. You nailed it. Thank you so much. And it takes a new citizen from another country to understand our republic better than 55% of natural-born Americans. They don't know. They know not what they don't have, and take someone from the outside coming in to know what they have and how beautiful it is. Like you said, our constitutional republic, the great experiment, allows man to succeed or fail based on our own merit, which is so huge. It says F you to Marxism, socialism, communism. This is where we can exercise our free will in business, science, math, religion. It really doesn't matter. Anything you want to do, you can do it or not. Your decisions, your choices, your success, your failure, but whatever it is, you own it. And that's what makes America great. And you understand it, Belly. So thank you. Thank you so much for articulating how much you love this country much better than I can.
You know, and it's no coincidence that in the book he wrote, Our Big Fat Soft Underbelly, you know, he covers this, and he covered this back in what, 2005, 2012, when he wrote that book, and those principles, you know, are still in place today, even more so today. You know, I just love the fact that he used the word conditioning for one, and that he believes. And I believe is a great title. It's a great mission. And that's what we have to get back to. And unfortunately, You know, we have an administration that doesn't believe. It believes that you are a victim. It believes that government is your mommy, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, and believes that that you can't take care of yourself. Believes in Mother Earth as the god, and this green as the new religion. And we must get back to the basics. Our founders were great. Our founders are being vilified today. You know, the people like John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were brilliant men, and they had such foresight that today they would run circles around the chimpanzees that are in Washington, D.C., the frauds that tried to profess how we should think and what America's foundings was truly about. And this phony 1619 project, from the Revolutionary War up through the war in the Middle East, we have got great Americans. We have people who believe in this country. You know, 9/11 2001, when you listen to the veterans and the people that were moved, the men that were moved on that day, you listen to the Wounded Warrior commercials and how this wounded veteran of the Gulf War he said that the second thing, he called his father to make sure he was all right, and the next day he went down to the recruiter's office and he joined the Marines. I mean, this is the dedication and the love that people have for our country, to give their lives the way they have, including my dad. You know, in 1942, he didn't wait to be drafted. He joined the United States Army. You know, he left behind, you know, seven brothers and sisters and parents, a mother who didn't speak English and only spoke Italian. And he fought for what he believed in. And like his five brothers, they did the same thing. And that was that is the reverence that Americans have for our nation. And what's sad is we have communists today who are trying to rewrite history and try to define what America was, and it's under their radical anti-American eyes. And our country, this is the greatest country in the world. Nobody can match the freedoms and liberties that we have and we are to enjoy. And it's sad that we have despots in Washington, D.C. who want to take that away, who want to take our freedom of speech away, who are taking the freedom of press away, who are taking the freedom of religion away, who are taking the freedoms to peaceably assemble away, who are taking away the right to petition the government for grievances. You know, all five components of the U.S., of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution have been abridged. And now we have a despotic regime who is seeking to dismantle the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, you know, the right to bear arms, the redefining of what our founders' intent was. It wasn't about, you know, hunting deer. It wasn't about shooting a musket. It was about a tyrannical government, because our founders foresaw the despots that we are seeing today in Washington, D.C., the dishonest despot that we're seeing in Washington, D.C. So I believe in the foundation of our nation. I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in freedom of religion. And I believe in the mighty United States of America. And Belly, that was so well put. Thank you, mate.
Yep. And despots for sure. If you look at the infrastructure bill, and you take a look at this bill, the $2 trillion in the bill, that only about 5 to 7% is actual roads, bridges, and ports, and things that you and I would say is real infrastructure, and that that the Trump administration tried to get passed under the previous administration with President Trump, and then they blocked it. The Democrats blocked it. So this $2 trillion bill, 5 to 7% only goes to roads. So where does the other 93% go?
Greasing the palms of their friends.
93% of a $2 trillion. But, I mean, you know how many taxes? First off, how many people pay federal income taxes? What, 30%, maybe 40% of the U.S. population pay federal income taxes? The other 60 don't? And of those 30%, they pay 75 to 80% of all federal income taxes. This is nothing but a big redistribution of wealth, and this is what's wrong with America. This is what Belly was talking about in his rant.
Yeah.
This comes from Russell Vault, the former director of Office of Management and Budget. This guy knows what he's talking about.
93% of a $2 trillion boondoggle is wasted. 93%. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the Democrat Party that's taking advantage of a crisis, a crisis that you're starting to wonder that was man-made, a crisis that did not have to happen. And now you've got the government is conditioning people into complacency, and in order to wet the appetites of and keep that appetite wet of complacency, it's the government throwing more money out and using a theme of infrastructure, a phony theme. 7% goes to infrastructure, 93% of $2 trillion. 93% of $1.8 trillion is just pissing money away. And this is how wasteful Washington, D.C. has become. They lack the fiduciary responsibility of the American taxpayer money. And we can sit idly by because the government is conditioning us with their sound bites, their empty sound bites, their empty rhetoric, their phony sound bites, and all these phony themes. You know, it's just like Iggy put in the chat room, remind folks, AR is a brand name like Smith & Wesson, and you've got the left wing, the anti-constitutionalists who are trying to condition Americans into believing that AR-15 is an automatic weapon and should be banned. AR is a brand. AR of AR-15 is a brand like Smith & Wesson, like Colt 45, like a Beretta 45. Beretta is a company. AR is a company. This is the phoniness behind the Marxist movement in America. It's to condition people into thinking, you know, their way, their radical anti-constitutional way. And dictator Joe Biden now is trying to sell a boondoggle. He's a snake oil salesman selling a $2 trillion boondoggle. When President Trump put forth a $900 billion program in order to bail out Americans, to bail out business, to get America back up and running, Nancy Pelosi sat on her claws. She sat on her claws not to give any type of win to Donald Trump, irrespective of the fact it was to help the American people. It was to help free enterprise. It was to help capitalism. It was to get America moving back in the right direction after a pandemic. But see, the Democrat Communist Party didn't want that. They didn't want to give President Trump any type of recognition or win or show that his policies and his vision was correct. And now you have this fraudulent, frail old fraud, dictator Joe Biden, who was sent in to dismantle everything that President Trump did from economic standpoint of raising taxes, raising corporate taxes, destroying America's independency on fuel oil, where now that we are going to be codependent, we're going to be dependent upon foreign sources of oil, with the killing of the Keystone Pipeline, with the stopping of any type of drilling in America. Okay, so now all of a sudden America has gone from energy independence under President Trump, and that vision would have kept America a leader in the world, to being dependent. Again, complacency. Again, mediocrity. Okay, MAMA should be dictator Joe Biden's slogan, make America mediocre again, because he's done that in less than 4 months. He's done that in 140 days. There's no way, shape, or form this frail old fraud who hid in his basement for 6 months, okay, could come up with half of this stuff. And now America's energy independence is now by the wayside. 33,000 jobs killed when he killed the Keystone Pipeline. And he talked about job creation with this phony Green New Deal that is going to rape the coffers of the American taxpayer. in order to fund this Green New Deal scam, this sham, a $4 trillion to $8 trillion scam. America is the cleanest air in the world, second to none when it compared to China, Russia, and India. And America is paying the lion's share of this Paris Accord green scam deal. And it takes a communist like a dictator Joe Biden to remove America from energy independence to being dependent on energy. And then he has the audacity to allow the Russian pipeline to go into Germany while he kills the Keystone pipeline. This is the sickness of this fraud that's in Washington, D.C., that was anointed the presidency. It's trying to erase everything that President Trump had done for 4 years, and it worked, because what it did was it showed the frauds in Washington, D.C. for what they are. And Nancy Pelosi proved it when she sat on her claws and she did nothing while businesses were hurting, while businesses were closing, while they were laying off people. When the PPP worked the first time around and we needed a second bailout, where was Nancy Pelosi and the United States Congress? They were AWOL. Why? Because it was not to give President Trump any type of victory or show any type of leadership. So she made all kinds of freaking excuses. Yet she walked around San Francisco without a mask while the peons had to sit there and be, you know, subservient to the government. And suddenly they come with a $2 trillion boondoggle with 93% being wasteful. $1.8 trillion is being wasted, ladies and gentlemen. 7% of the $2 trillion, 7% goes to infrastructure. This is how wasteful Washington, D.C. has become. This is how wasteful the communists in Washington, D.C. truly are. And you know what? It's not confined to one side of the aisle. Make no bones about it. It's both sides of the aisle. Maybe a handful on the right side of the aisle are worth a damn. So this whole thing with the economy and the fiduciary responsibility, the people in Congress have lost their way. And, you know, it's really sad that we have men and women who fought for this country for 240 years, fought for independence from Great Britain, fought the fascists in Germany, World War I, World War II. We fought the domination of Islam in the 1990s and the 2000s after we were attacked on September 11, 2001. And now we're embracing the very people who attacked us, who want us to be subservient to them. You know, appeasement is not an option. And I believe that somebody will come forward and Americans will stand up and reject the road that the dictator Joe Biden and the Democrat Communist Party is taking America. It's an absolute disgrace what we are seeing today coming out of Washington, D.C. and from the so-called, you know, career politicians who are told that they're leaders. They don't care about America. They don't care about Americans. They care about their pocketbooks. From the Biden crime family, who's lined his coffers with Russian money, with Chinese money, and yet there's no accountability by the, what was it, Billy called it? The main slime media. The DNC media doesn't hold one damn Democrat accountable for their actions. From Fang Fang to Dianne Feinstein to Adam Shifty Schiff, spending American money having a slush settling a sexual harassment suit out of a taxpayer funded slush fund. Nancy Pelosi and her son Paul in the Ukraine. You got Mitt Romney, his daughter in Ukraine, and of course we all know about the Biden crime family and their ties to the Ukraine. And yet nothing. In the meantime, they go about and they're sitting here trying to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. And then they come up with, oh, it's just a holiday. Enjoy the 3-day weekend, ladies. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's just another. It's a 3-day weekend. I mean, there's just something that's inherently wrong with that. But you know why? Because there is no belief in the United States of America. There is no belief in the foundings of our country, because it's being rewritten by these slimeballs. It's being rewritten to their phony Marxist narrative. You separate Americans by race. You employ identity politics, and you divide America. Oh, enjoy the long weekend. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll tell my dad that. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. He lost his life in the war. Okay, all right. I'll tell my son that. Oh, he lost his life in the war. Oh, you know what? Have another hot dog and hamburger, you know, Communist Kamala.
Yeah, and most people don't know this, but Memorial Day is not for troops that are soldiers that are active duty or supposedly that are still alive. Memorial Day is to honor those soldiers who lost their lives in battle.
Correct. You know, you think the Sullivans, the Sullivan family is celebrating, you know, a long weekend when they lost, you know, five of their sons, you know, in World War II. I mean, it's not comical. It's sad. It's sad that this person who is vice president of the United States would have this cavalier approach. You know, it's just one. This is what's wrong with America. This is what's wrong with this type of mentality. Oh, just have a nice weekend. You know, enjoy the long weekend. Okay. Your employer is going to pay you for Monday. Just, you know, take the day off and, you know, eat your bonbons and have your little barbecue and enjoy yourself. That's not what it's about. And they don't want it to be about that. You know what? They don't want the true meaning to come out, because they don't want Americans, they don't want people to understand what America's founding is about. It's just like what Iggy put in the chat room. AR is a brand name. They want people to understand that AR-15, it's an automatic weapon that kills people. Oh, it just basically, the AR-15 just jumps up and it opens fire wherever it's at, right? It's just like a car. A car drives into a crowd. Doesn't somebody have to drive it? You know? I mean, it's so dishonest and disingenuous. It's just, it's incredible what we are seeing today. And you contrast that with just going back to Ronald Reagan and the patriotism that exuded, the president revering our fallen soldiers and people understanding that honor. But there is no honor today. And when you had a president who was seeking to display that honor, he was trashed. And, you know, it's one, he was an outsider, okay? And of course, that was the cardinal sin right there. But he exposed so much. He exposed so much fraud and how disingenuous the politicians truly are on both sides of the aisle. And it's really sad what we're seeing today, but we have to believe that our founders were brilliant men. They put forth an experiment, a document that has guided us for 237 years. And it should guide us for another 237 years. We'll have our bumps along the way. We'll have our hiccups along the way. But again, another Donald Trump, another Ronald Reagan will emerge, and we'll get that pride back. And we have to fight this left-wing ideology, this left-wing anti-American ideology. And, you know, and China is a facilitator of this. Make no bones about it. I mean, they're dumping a crapload of money in every country in the world, it seems like. You know, they're buying ports on the east and the west coast of Africa to house their military. They're buying up, you know, ports in New Zealand and in Australia. This isn't accidental. This is by nature, man. This is by design. And of course, you've got the Iranians too. I read an article this weekend, not to take away from this, but how even Saudi journalists are chastising the Palestinians for being a puppet for Iran and being the impediment to peace in the Middle East. Isn't it amazing? The Saudis, of all people, the Saudis are understanding that the Palestinians are, and Hamas is a tool for Iran, and they are the obstacle to peace in that region. And it's finally being said.
Yep. Well, get a load of this. Speaking of China, what? Did you know that China now has a rover on Mars? And that China now has a space station and satellites that they're putting up?
No kidding. No, I did not know that.
Yep. And they own 200 miles of land and a wind project in right on the border of Mexico over by Laughlin Air Force Base. They own approximately... through a shell corporation, approximately 200 acres of land right near the Air Force Base in an area that is not known for its wind.
That I heard.
So now they're buying up land right near Laughlin Air Force Base. God help us the day they attack us. We're so screwed. People don't realize China is our enemy. They are the communist Chinese. They are our enemies.
Yeah, isn't it funny how how we're being conditioned to believe otherwise? I mean, you had – who was it that wrestler John Cena had apologized to China formally for calling Taiwan a country? I mean, you tell the Chinese to go pound sand.
Yeah, why did he apologize? I saw that story too, and I didn't quite understand the details of it. What did he do? What did he owe to the Chinese, and why did he feel the need to apologize for calling Taiwan a state?
There's some sort of sponsorship that he gets, and apparently because of this sponsorship, he had to do a mea culpa and apologize for calling Taiwan a country. And it's like, you know, this is no different than LeBron James. You know, the coach there of the Golden State Warriors, for crying out loud. You know, LeBron James, you know, has more reverence for China, for communist red China, than the United States of America, where he's made his money, which gave him the opportunity. It wasn't the communist red Chinese who gave him an opportunity to come out of high school and bounce a ball on a wooden floor, okay? Certainly it was his talent, but it was the United States of America where he was able to earn that appreciation for basketball. And it was the white man who helped sponsor him. It was the white man who bought his clothing. It was the white man who supported his number. It was the black man who supported his number. It was, you know what? Let's forget about all the identity politics. It was Americans who bought his sportswear, okay? It was Americans who bought the same sneakers that he wore. It was the Americans who bought his shirt and his number when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers and with the Miami Heat. I mean, my goodness gracious. You know, why don't you be thankful? Be thankful for the country that gave you that opportunity to shine and to earn the tens and hundreds of millions of dollars that you're making for bouncing a ball on a wooden floor. And now we're told that you can't say this because of the communist China. Oh, the communist Chinese threw all this money at the NBA, and you have to sit there and you have to accept that.
Yeah, I tell you, for the cost of an airplane or a jet, let's say $100 million, the Chinese have bought so much influence within our National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, our sports, that for the cost of one jet, their influence is changing the NBA, enforcing they bought the NBA.
They did. They certainly did.
For the cost
did.
Of an airplane.
Yep.
That's a damn yep. good investment. If I'm going to destabilize an enemy, hell, I would want to own some of their professional teams.
Yep, it was a great move. It is brilliant. You've forgotten about the communist aspect of Red China. You've forgotten about the oppressive nature of the Chinese government. You know what? You've been conditioned to believe otherwise. And, you know, mm-hmm. communist China is no different than communist Russia. The oppression. So now all of a sudden we're looking at the oppressive part of it, and you're forgetting about the oppression of China and the human rights violations, the environmental violations, all pushed away and pushed in the, and you're not even going to talk about the Wuhan virus. You know, you can't even talk about that.
Well, it is starting to come up in conversation. I'm seeing it on the news. They're talking about a lab leak now. Openly, on CNN and the mainstream media, a lab leak is the possible cause of the Wuhan virus. We won't know for sure, of course, until investigators are allowed into China, which they're not going to be and have never been. So they suspect that it was a lab leak that released this virus and that President Trump is right all along. Is it... When we called this the Wuhan virus, and we talked about this quite a bit, I have Grammarly because I don't write real well, but Grammarly helps me get all my punctuation right. So if you're a writer, not to plug Grammarly, they're not a paid advertiser, but it is a great program if you like to write. But anyway, when I would write Wuhan virus on an email or whatever, it would pop up and go, Al, you should use a different word because that could offend people. Using the Wuhan virus, you should use COVID-19 because the Wuhan virus, it's offensive to call it that, or the China virus, as Trump called it. And now it ends up that he's right. Any mea culpas from MSNBC or CNN? I don't think so.
Yeah, no mea culpas. In the meantime, the fascists at Facebook still have suspended President Trump's account, and also the fascists of Twitter have done the same thing. In the meantime, President Trump was right. Again, just let time go by, and again, President Trump is vindicated once again, and yet the fascists of Facebook, the fascists of Twitter have continued to suspend President Trump, and he was right. He was right. He called it like it was, the Wuhan virus. It came out of the Wuhan lab. It came out of Wuhan, China. So let's not call the Spanish flu anymore, right? Or the Hong Kong flu. Back in the 60s, I remember, in the 70s, Hong Kong flu. All of a sudden, it wasn't a woke Asian issue. What happened? Well, the flu came out of Hong Kong. Oh, the Spanish flu of 1918, 1919, it killed how many millions of people, and it's still called the Spanish flu. And suddenly we have to backtrack on calling this the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus. And now it's coming out very slowly that this virus came out of a lab. But again, under dictator Joe Biden, they are going to allow the WHO to investigate. Oh, man. You know what? Why don't we get bank robbers to be security guards at the First National Bank in your city? I mean, the WHO, the World Health Organization, is useless. And they're an arm of the Chinese government. And we're going to have the WHO investigate and tell the dictator Joe Biden regime how this virus started. I mean, this whole thing is a joke. It is a joke. It's sad.
Yes, WHO is another great investment by the communist Chinese.
Exactly.
They own the guy who runs the WHO.
Exactly. And again, President Trump was right. He was correct in getting out of the WHO. And, you know, the United States was dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into the WHO. And what did it get us? 600,000 deaths? That's what it got us. And now they're going to go ahead and investigate. They're going to investigate with the help of the Chinese. Now there, what could possibly go wrong with that? I mean, wow, how credible will that be, Al? It's as credible as this next story. It's as credible as the dictator Biden regime brings in Islamic activists to investigate U.S. military for extremism. Now, we played a Pete Hegseth clip a couple of weeks back regarding the Department of Defense, the Secretary of the Defense, and enlisting this individual to investigate extremism in the military. Okay. But we didn't know and understand how bad of an idea this truly was. You know, this left-wing ideology is this whole thing is meant to eradicate and erase Donald J. Trump from any type of history. And it's to define anybody who supports or supported President Trump as being a racist, an extremist, a fascist, although that is the furthest thing from the truth. And it's to disparage those individuals who had the audacity to support Donald Trump as president of the United States, to support an America First agenda. And Daniel Greenfield wrote a story that has appeared in Front Page Mag, titled Biden Brings in Islamic Activists to Investigate U.S. Military for Extremism. And it caught the radar of Pete Hegseth, who's an announcer or a newscaster, or I forgot what you call him, but a personality on Fox News. And he did a really good job of giving a 7 to 8 minute oration on this. And then you found the Countering Extremism Working Group, CEWG. Now, I will ask our listeners to look up Countering Extremism Working Group and the subcommittee's lines of effort. It's the CEWG. The CEWG action incorporate external viewpoints to inform report. And it's a report that the Countering Extremism would like to partner with experts, okay, on counter-extremism and counter-terrorism to better understand the scope of the problem and inform the 90-day report for the Secretary of Defense. These experts may come from advocacy groups, academia, and other areas that contribute to the fight against extremism. We welcome your input in developing a short list of experts who can engage in open forum or dialogue with CEWG in May or June 2021. And the advocacy groups include the National Association of Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, Hina Shamsi, American Civil Liberty Unions, ACLU. An interesting thing about Hina Shamsi is that she's Pakistani. She also, before joining the ACLU, was defending Islamic terrorists in Gitmo. Manar Wahid, American Civil Liberties Union. Oh, Manar Wahid. He's a senior legislative and advocacy counsel for the ACLU. Here's a quote from Manar Wahid. Congress has taken a huge step forward in sending the message to the president and the country that Muslims and other communities of color are welcome here. Now that the bill has passed out of committee, we look forward to to its swift passage in the House without further changes. We must end these bans and prevent presidents from using rank prejudice to discriminate against black and brown people. You know, and this was geared towards and aimed at President Trump when he had the no-fly list, okay, from seven countries, five of which were Islamic countries. No stable forms of government and or were state sponsors of terror like Iran. And you know what? You can't get any information out of Iran, who is a state sponsor of terror. That's one. There is no stable form of government in Libya. That's two. There's no stable form of government in Yemen. That's three. There's no stable form of government in Syria. That's four. And this is what these devout fundamental Islamists like Manar Wahid, okay, and Hina Shamsi, they don't want to root out Islamic terrorists. That's not their aim. Their aim is to make Islamist victims. Okay, you think that they who enjoy the opportunity to graduate from Northwestern University or graduate from Harvard University, graduate from Mount Holyoke University, you know, who are enjoying an education from America, that they would want their fellow Muslims to enjoy this type of opportunity without Islamic jihadists coming into America and inflicting terror into the hearts of the disbelievers. Instead, they would rather be victims. They would rather play the victim card. There was nothing prejudiced nor discriminatory about President Trump. President Trump saw an opportunity to protect Americans, and he looked at it from a national security perspective. There are 57 Islamic states, including the Palestinian territory. Five of those Islamic states were on this travel ban list. It wasn't a ban on Africans. It wasn't a ban on people of color. And it certainly wasn't a ban on all Muslims. It was a national security issue. You cannot vet one Muslim migrant from Syria, Libya, Iran, Yemen. You could not vet those individuals. And sadly, it's people like Manar Wahid and Hina Shamsi who don't want you to understand that. President Trump was not a racist. Okay? As much as the communists, as much as the anti-Americans want to make it their theme, and they want to condition you into believing that, President Trump was not a racist, he wasn't prejudiced against Muslims, and he wasn't trying to discriminate against black and brown people, which was a metaphor for Africans, because Islam is not a race. So you have these people like Manar Wahid who try to deceive the infidel, and they bring in the black and brown narrative, the black and brown people narrative, the people of color narrative, like Rashida Mother Effer Tlaib likes to distract from. The same with incestuous Ilhan Omar wants to distract you from the truth. The fact is that they don't want to root out the Islamic jihadists who are inflicting terror into the hearts of the disbelievers as what's called for in the Book of Allah. And this is the sad part of this whole thing. This CEWG group, this Countering Extremism Working Group, is a bogus group. This is absolutely a terrible weapon by dictator Joe Biden and his regime. The people that he has put together for this committee is nothing but a left-wing anti-American group of individuals. The Southern Poverty Law Center is included in that. The Southern Poverty Law Center is not concerned about civil rights for all Americans. They like to label people. And if you don't fit their narrative, you're on their hit list. So you have two members of the Southern Poverty Law Center who are considered experts. Okay? You have Faiza Patel from the Brennan Center, another left-wing. By the way, she was born and raised in Pakistan. So we have another Pakistani who is going to tell you and me about extremism in the military. You have Wael Al-Zayed from M-Gage. M-Gage, part of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, part of the Muslim Brotherhood. We have the Muslim Brotherhood in the House. Not in just one spot, but two spots. Imam Bakadoum. Another one. Doesn't give an idea where she was born other than she is an Islamist. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Islamists that are on this list who's going to root out extremism in the United States military. This is how radical, how anti-American the dictator Joe Biden regime truly is. The Secretary of Defense has put together this list, this hit list of people to go in and to root out extremism in the United States military. So if you don't fit the litmus test that's put forth by the CEWG, you're going to be labeled an extremist. If you consider yourself a patriot who wants to put America first and you're in the United States military, you better hope you're not going to be interviewed by any of these extremists that are on the list. 10, 13, 18 extremists on the list. Human Rights First, ACLU, NAACP, the Anti-Defamation League, the Arab League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League, M-Gage. You're not talking about a group that is a pro-Islamist organization. We were attacked on 9/11/2001. In 1987, the Muslim Brotherhood wrote an explanatory memorandum that was uncovered in a sub-basement in 2004 when the FBI raided this house in Annandale, Virginia. A sub-basement, not a basement, but another basement, a sub-basement that was what was found by the FBI that had a treasure trove of documents. And one of the documents was written by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood wrote that the Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, there's 18 people on this list of CEWG that now has access to our Department of Defense, our United States military. Now, I don't know what part of this explanatory memorandum that is not understood. And obviously, if you're a left-wing Democrat, part of the Democrat Communist Party, you don't care about what the Muslim Brotherhood wrote because you both have the same mission, and that's to advance our constitutional republic. But if you read what the mission statement is of the Muslim Brotherhood, you have to understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. And now, thanks to dictator Joe Biden, the Muslim Brotherhood now is within. It's within our Department of Defense. It is within our military, sabotaging its miserable hands, its miserable house by their hands. So now we have saboteurs who are part of this committee who have the ability to sabotage our United States military. But the hands of the believers now, okay, are the ones that will be doing the sabotaging. Why? So that if you can eliminate this constitutional republic and you can make God's religion. And what is God's religion? God's religion, as noted by the Muslim Brotherhood, is Islam. We have 5 of the 18 are Islamists. 5 members of this group are Islamists. The Muslim Brotherhood is salivating that this administration, the dictator Joe Biden administration, has allowed the fox in the hen house once again. And to the point where they, this group, the CEWG, is going to root out extremists. And you're not the extremists who are looking to blow up buildings a la Akbar, but extremists who they define as those who support President Trump. They, the extremists who supported America First agenda. Those patriots who believe that America is the greatest country in the world. What a beautiful thing. The explanatory memorandum, the Muslim Brotherhood is salivating at the prospect that they can now re-implement the explanatory memorandum and the American people will be none the wiser. The American people won't even know because sleepy Joe Biden has put forth this committee that nobody really cares about. Americans are sleeping at the wheel. You know what? We have a pandemic that we have. You have to wear, you have to get vaccines. In the meantime, they've commissioned this group, the CEWG, Al, and the players in this are some of the most radical anti-Americans that we've ever have seen. I mean, I'm looking at the Brennan Center, M-Gage, the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's disgusting what we're seeing here.
It's the fox guarding the hen house.
Yes, very much so. Very, very much so. I mean, we talked about this in 2008, 2010, when we first got started. The explanatory memorandum. Paul Sutliff would read the explanatory memorandum at the start of a show every week. The Equan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And who do you have in the believers here? I mean, you've got Hina Shamsi. She's a Pakistani national. Now she's listed as an American national. That's how it's listed. Okay. And then you have a 37-year-old female Muslim senior manager of Civil Rights Corps based in Washington, D.C., who was a senior staff attorney at ADC, the American Arab Discrimination. And you have Manar Wahid, Senior Legislative and Advocacy Counsel for the ACLU. And you've got Faiza Patel, you're born and raised in Pakistan, the Brennan Center for Justice. And you've got Wael Al-Zayed, M-Gage. You want to talk about an organization that is the epitome of a front group for the Muslim Brotherhood? And these people now are going to define who's an extremist in the United States military. Lloyd Austin is the perfect chimpanzee to pull this off. And it's really sickening to see how the Secretary of Defense has moved from a one who reveres the United States of America to a man who demonizes those who serve in the United States military. And if I'm in the United States military and somebody asks who I voted for, I certainly would keep my mouth shut because you're going to be labeled an extremist. And all you did was you love the United States. We were attacked on 9/11 2001. You joined the military. Why'd you join the military? Because our country was attacked. You can be deemed an extremist now. And you'll have Hina Shamsi look at you and go, oh, you joined for the wrong reasons. You're an extremist. Not the 19 Muslim men who attacked America and who flew planes into the Pentagon and the Twin Towers. Oh, we forgot all about that. Oh.
So what's the possible result of this? Is that there are patriots, true patriots, who are watching this and watching it very closely and seeing our national security apparatus get overtaken, not even by an influence operation. They're being brought in and recruited.
There
you go. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and the bloc of Islamic jihadis that are in elected office are probably giving lists to Joe Biden to give to Lloyd, and then say, look, okay, we need these people on this committee. And sure enough, they get in, and then they bring 5, 6, 10 people with them, and then they put them into the bureaucracy. Now, the flip side of this is, okay, what happens when you apply pressure to influence operations and our enemies within? Well, on December 9th, 2020, 1,000 Chinese researchers left the U.S. since a spying probe intensified during the summer. More than 1,000 visiting researchers from China working at U.S. universities have left the country since the summer, according to John Demers, chief of the Department of Justice's National Security Division. This exodus comes as the Department of Justice has intensified its investigations of espionage by scientists at U.S. institutions who are secretly affiliated with the Chinese government or military. The Communist Chinese are an enemy of the United States. President Trump saw that, and then he started looking into the soft target, the soft underbelly of our academic world. And then for the cost of another jet, the Chinese communists can get so many researchers and students into American universities to do research and get access to classified information. It's downright chilling. Well, President Trump saw that, and as soon as they started doing a probe of it, bingo, 1,000 Chinese researchers leave the United States, like Fang Fang. Hell,
yes.
They probably all took the same plane out. Fang Fang and 1,000 researchers. So that means that if we do what we are supposed to do as Americans, and I don't know, if we do what we're supposed to do, going after our enemies within, there are always going to be spies. There's always going to be subversion, there's going to be saboteurs, there's going to be people that want to see the downfall of the United States of America because they believe in either communism and Marxism or jihadism or some other type of anything other than a constitutional republic. They want to see us brought down, but the minute that we fight back, just a little. President Trump just gave a nudge and 1,000 of them going running for the hills. But instead,
yep,
this article that you wrote, that you reported on, highly disturbing because now they're getting handpicked and brought in, these subversives, these traitors. And then they're going to be purging our military of people that they deem that are problems because they're patriots, or are they like President Trump, or they're open conservatives.
There you go. They're open conservatives. You know, Monty Granger, who is a retired military, after the story was posted, this front page mag, Biden brings in Islamic activists to investigate U.S. military for extremism. He wrote, it was disgusting. It's unconscionable. It's unbelievable. But as Monty Granger stated, it's disgusting. And let me just read you a little bit of a bio Daniel Greenfield wrote in this story of Hina Shamsi. A decade ago, Hina Shamsi was fighting on behalf of the Holy Land Foundation, whose leaders had been convicted of providing material support to Hamas. Hamas, you know, by the way, is listed as a terrorist organization by the Department of State. Just a minor point there, okay? As head of the ACLU's National Security Project, Hamsi, a Pakistani citizen, had fought fiercely for the Islamic terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. She declared, "We all must pledge not one person more in Guantanamo, not in our names." So we need to have Guantanamo filled again. But now the Pakistani advocate for Islamic terrorists has a new job, going after our soldiers. Shamsi is one of the terror lawyers who appears on the list of partners for the Biden administration crackdown on extremism in the military. The only kind of extremism that Shamsi appears to be an expert on is the Islamic kind, and her expertise has been in denying it, like, fighting on behalf of the Holy Land Foundation. Furthermore, at least as of 2017, Shamsi has described herself as a Pakistan citizen with permanent legal residence in America. She's not the only apparent Pakistani citizen tasked by Biden to go after our troops. Take Faiza Patel, another Pakistani immigrant who co-wrote an article arguing against designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization. The article claimed that the Muslim Brotherhood is a religious organization, a political party, and social service provider, and that it had disavowed violence decades ago. Really? Disavowed violence decades ago. The Ikhwan, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers, so that is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Now, apparently, Faiza Patel didn't get this message from the Muslim Brotherhood. Written in 1987, discovered in a sub-basement in an FBI raid in Annandale, Virginia in 2004. Now, somebody is lying or somebody is ignorant to what the Muslim Brotherhood is really about. I'm going with the lying aspect of it. That would come as news to Hamas and other active jihadist network members. In another co-written article, Faiza Patel claimed that the laws against Sharia were Islamophobic. Oh, okay. So you have Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the U.S. Constitution states that the United States Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. Not Sharia, not U.N. law, not U.N. treaties. The U.S. Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land. Now, if you want to practice Sharia like they do in Pakistan, please move back to Pakistan. Or, better yet, you can move to Libya. You can move to Iraq, which has no stable form of government. And you can implement your Sharia law there. Now, there's nothing, the Sharia can be implemented in Pakistan. It could be implemented. Oh, it is implemented in Pakistan. It could be implemented in Iraq. Oh, it is part of Iraqi culture. It is part of Iraqi law. Huh. Patel has worked for the international organizations in Europe, including the International Criminal Tribunal, and was a member of the UN Human Rights Council working group, which listed her as a member from Pakistan, not the United States, from Pakistan, raising questions about her citizenship. And yet Shamsi and Patel aren't the worst on the list of partners for the Biden administration's countering extremism working group, published by OAN, Jack Posobiec. While Biden's Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, had announced a CEW group to counter supposed extremism in the military, the list of CEWG partners contains a lot of Muslim lawyers and activists. In addition to Shamsi, there's fellow Pakistan ACLU activist Manar Wahid, three Pakistanis, three devout fundamental Muslims. Huh, the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum coming to fruition. The Iqua must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within. Thank you, dictator Joe Biden, for resurrecting the Muslim Brotherhood and the explanatory memorandum. The list includes Wael Al-Zayed in his role as the CEO of M-Gage, the national co-chair and the founding member of the Islamic group in Karum Wahid, who has been described as the one of the country's most prominent terror lawyers, whose clients include an Al-Qaeda operative who plotted to kill President George W. Bush, and Sami Al-Aryan, who's linked to the Islamic Jihad. Wahid had been placed on a terror watch list, and M-Gage, as a counterterrorism research, Joe Kaufman noted, holds events at terror-linked mosques, including one founded by Sami Al-Aryan. M-Gage's board includes Debbie Almonster, who was forced out of her job over T-shirts reading Intifada New York City, the Intifada NYC. Nada Al-Hanouti, M-Gage's executive director from Michigan, is the daughter of Muthana Al-Hanouti, a former CARE leader who was accused of working for Saddam Hussein and the Iraqi intelligence agency. Dictator Joe Biden has let the enemy in the front door. 9/11/2001 is a passing memory. 9/11/2001 and the attack on America by 19 Islamic terrorists funded by Saudi Arabia, it's just an afterthought now. And now these same individuals, the very individuals who want to seek the demise of the United States of America, is working closely with the Democrat Communist Party to make sure that happens. This is absolutely sick. Also on the list of Biden's CEWG partners is Iman Bukadu, the staff attorney for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, the ADC. The ADC has a long history of defending and excusing Islamic terrorists. I know many people in Hamas. They are very respectable. Its former president, Hamzi Mograbi, has said former ADC president Hussein Abish called Hezbollah a disciplined and responsible liberation force whose members conduct themselves in exemplary manner. Allah Akbar. Right. This is who's on the CEWG list. This is the committee. This is what makes up the committee. Devout fundamental Muslims who are going to root out white supremacists, who are going to define a patriotic, pro-American member of the military as being an extremist. Why? Because they're patriotic and they're pro-American. You know, this is unconscionable what we're seeing today in America, and how what we're using, what the U.S. military is being used for. And the individual that was tapped as the Secretary of Defense is just another anti-constitutionalist, an anti-American, with these individuals who are clearly anti-American, who have contempt for our constitutional republic. Pakistani citizens let in the front door. You know, it's one thing if you want to root out sexual assault. That's totally understandable. But diversity, and you're going to confront white supremacists and domestic extremism as defined by anti-Americans, as defined by anti-constitutionalists? What the hell is going on in here? Why are we accepting this radicalism from dictator Joe Biden? Why are we accepting allowing the Muslim Brotherhood in the front door once again? This thing called the explanatory memorandum was real. And certainly it was being curbed by the previous administration. But now we're back to 2009. This anti-American sentiment, this anti-constitutional sentiment is back front and center. You know, dictator Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself. These are the same policies, and these are the same players that were in place during the Obama-Biden administration. Make no bones about it. These are the same players. There's one individual here who worked for Samantha Powers. Son of a gun. Imagine the names that start resurrecting and the dots you start connecting when you start looking into these people's backgrounds. More anti-Americans, more anti-constitutionalists, more Marxists, more communists who want to destroy our constitutional republic. And it's time we fight this extremism. It's time that we fight this anti-Americanism. We need patriots in the United States military who believe in the United States of America. We don't need the hierarchy, these so-called leaders, for destroying the morale and the integrity of the United States military, because that's indeed what they're designed to do. Pakistani citizens now are going to define who's extreme in the United States military. Members of the United Nations Human Rights Council are going to define our United States military men and women? Seriously, this is what's being done. This is what's being put in place. Lloyd Austin should be ousted, and the disgrace of dictator Joe Biden and his regime, it's unbelievable what we're seeing today. So I urge you, look at the story for yourself. You'll find the article of Front Page Magazine, the list of players. You start connecting the dots. You start seeing where they're aligned with, who they're aligned with, who they're connected with. I mean, Bukadum, Iman Bukadum, one last thing, was most recently hard at work fighting for Abdelhalim Ashgar, who had been convicted of obstruction of justice in the case involving the flow of money to Hamas. Now, Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas is defined by the Department of State as a terrorist organization. At what point do we start holding people accountable for defending Islamic terrorism? We already know these five and six people, They don't want to root out Islamic terrorism in the United States. They want to create a victim status, and that's what the Muslim Brotherhood does. The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within, and dictator Joe Biden's administration is allowing it to happen, and they're doing it in the United States military. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what we are witnessing today. This should not be tolerated. Call your congressman. Call your senators and say, we cannot stand for this. Our United States military is not a testing ground for the left-wing anti-Americans, for the left-wing Democrat Communist Party. Just because you're patriotic and you believe in the United States of America, you believe in America first, you're now considered an extremist under dictator Joe Biden's Department of Defense policies? Holy cow. This is sickening. This is sickening.
Yep, we're turning on ourselves and just ignoring the enemy within. And even China, I mean, back on May 13th, 2021, China's big budget foreign influence operation in the United States is heavily tilted towards television broadcasting and other media activities, according to a newly disclosed Foreign Agents Registration Act, or a FARA filing. Now, the country's state-owned China Global Television Network spent more than $50 million on its U.S. operations last year, accounting for nearly 80% of the total Chinese spending on influencing U.S. public opinion and policy, according to the FARA filings compiled by the Center for Responsive Politics. It was the first year for which the China Global Television Network began broadcasting in the U.S. in 2012, and they reported a complete spending figure in 2019 of about $43 million in total, China spent nearly $64 million on propaganda and lobbying in the United States last year. China's propaganda spending spree comes as Beijing seeks to burnish its global image amid a coronavirus pandemic that originated in the country's city of Wuhan more than a year ago. And this you will not read in any mainstream media outlet. This is where a group actually did some research and went into FARA filings and dug it out. And we're talking $50 million in propaganda. Because they know that they can break the will of the American people through propaganda, not through bullets.
Yeah, and you know, that's what communists do best. And okay, so you have $50 million in propaganda. You have $64 million spent after that. And think about this. You've got mini Mike Bloomberg. In 2018, he spent $60 million, was it? Yeah, $60 million, just under $100 million, in getting pro-Nancy Pelosi candidates elected into Congress so that Nancy Pelosi could become the Speaker of the House again. And it was successful. So look at the attempt. Look at how much money, the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent by the left wing, the communist movement, in order to dismantle our constitutional republic. I mean, just look at that. You know, I look at the $60 million, the $64 million, then this $50 million in propaganda, and then mini Mike Bloomberg in 2019, in the 2020 debates, he admitted to spending $60 million and was going to spend another $100+ million in the 2020 campaign. So you've got all of this anti-American sentiment, this pro-American sentiment that's being dumped into America. I mean, it's unbelievable how much money the anti-Americans are spending. And it's all for the same, you know, they all get in bed together. The Muslim Brotherhood despises America, despises our constitutional republic. You know, right away, if you seek to implement the U.S. Constitution, and you look at Article 6, Clause 2, which says that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, you're Islamophobic because if you don't believe in Sharia. So the Sharia has no... It's antithetical to our foundings and to our constitutional republic, and you're Islamophobic. And then you've got, on the other side, you've got these progressives who then start dumping money in to get other progressive candidates who are opposed to our constitutional republic, like mini Mike Bloomberg. You know, his effort is to dismantle and destroy the Second Amendment. And it's amazing, Al. It's amazing. It's the same mission with all these anti-Americans.
Huh. Yep, they're winning the day. And just like in Vietnam with the Tet Offensive, we talked about that a little bit last week. During the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, we won. We beat the hell out of the communist Chinese and the communist Vietnamese that we were fighting to stop the spread of communism in Vietnam. And we won, but where did we lose the war? We lost the war with Walter Cronkite getting on air and saying that the attacks just keep coming in waves after waves after waves. American soldiers getting killed left and right, and then numbers every day of American soldiers. Eventually it took its toll, and it turned the American people against our own government, against our own military. And then the riots started and all the protests, just like we're seeing now with Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Correct.
It's the same playbook, just a little bit different. History is repeating itself, and a small number of people are aware of it. Us, our listeners, because our listeners are fantastic. The other hosts on our network understand this. And it's our job to tell people. And it's your job as listeners to tell your friends and your family. Well, you may not want to tell your family very softly because they'll probably disown you, and you may not want that. It's a high price to pay for changing things that you really can't change. So tell everybody else but your family.
You know, that was a great analogy, by the way. You know,
damn right.
It was, you know, the Walter Cronkite, the Tet Offensive analogy was so true, and it was an issue where back then we still had some sort of patriotism that exuded, you know, from an administration. Today, now we have what's embedded now is an anti-American sentiment. From the top all the way down to the administrative levels, and we know how corrupt, you know, some of the other organizations are inside of the United States government. You talked about other shows here on Block Talk. I mean, on Global Patriot Radio. Tomorrow night we have Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Great show. Eric does a great job with regards to his knowledge of Islam and, of course, Christianity. Wednesday, we've got Hank Jones with Poly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul doing a great job as well. He's getting ready to release his book, I believe, June 1st, tomorrow, or sometime next week. He's got a new book that's out. Friday is Andrew Harrod with Islam in Focus, a conservative Friday. He had a great guest on. He had a Rabbi Spiro on last Friday, and it was a great interview. Rabbi Spiro gave such a fantastic critique, no holes barred, actually told it like it was. And if you have an opportunity to listen in archives, go to Andrew Harrod's Conservative Friday and listen to the show with Rabbi Spiro. Saturday, Minister Usama Dakdak and a beautiful Christie. Usama Dakdak is such a what a great man, and this man dedicates his life to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he goes around the country, and it's just incredible what this man does and the flack that he takes, and of course he's being bullied by the Council on American Islamic Relations on a daily basis. And then Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan has got his Interfaith Dialogue with Radio Free Kafiristan. Great show, Interfaith Dialogue, the real Interfaith Dialogue. There's no fluff in this. And then Monday you've got Al and Vito. They're back on Monday with the Mama Mia No Sharia. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, tomorrow, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, Simple Facts of Life on Blog Talk Radio. And at Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, check her out Tuesdays and Fridays, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, her and a sidekick. You've got Curtis, does a great job with Southern Sense Talk Radio. And then if you want a break from politics and you want a little self-help, check out the Simone Nicole Show on Spreaker, Spreaker, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday evenings. So you got Hank Jones of Poly Sports. When he's done with that, you get a little bit of break, have some espresso, have a cannoli, and then at 9 o'clock, check out Simone Nicole, and he'll tell you how bad that cannoli was for you. And if you exercise that day. But no, it's just a great show. So everybody be safe out there. Thank you for joining us this evening. And you guys be safe out there. Remember our military men and women.
It was.
Thank you, folks.
Adios, amigos.
Highest order. They're not protecting America. We need a House of Un-American Committee back again.
Oh, you think that's going to happen under Nasty Pelosi? That's never going to happen. Oh, my gosh.
God. Was Swalwell still on the Intelligence Committee after being turned by a Chinese agent, Feinstein's driver, and house manager, whatever she is, her personal assistant?
Yeah.
She's on the Intelligence Committee. Ding, ding, ding. Something's not right here. Oh, we've been infiltrated, or else they have been turned. My guess is they were probably turned because they had access to so much information. They got the dirt on them, and that I'm sure that they were doing something that was illegal, and they got their hooks into them, and then they owned them.
Oh, but Al, we've investigated these people. Oh, we've investigated these people. That's it. Oh, okay, really? So when bogus charges were made against President Trump, right away you had to dispatch the Seventh Army to go investigate President Trump for these phony allegations, and you spent $30 million plus, and you found nothing. You found that there was no collusion between Russia and Donald Trump, nor anybody in his organization or his campaign. And yet, we're just told that, well, we talked to Eric Swalwell. We talked to Congressman Swalwell, and, you know, everything's okay. Oh, you just talked to him? I mean, you got Fang Fang, who was at his side, okay, and was apparently a lover of his while he was mayor of the city in California, and launched his congressional career. And somehow we don't have to look into that. Somehow we have to press that aside. And then 20 years, Dianne Feinstein had a Chinese spy as a driver. 20 years. How many dots must you go back and connect? 20 years. Think about that. For two decades, the Chinese spy was her driver. Oh, we've looked into that. Really? You spent an hour and a half, and yet we had to spend 18 months looking into a bogus bullshit charge against President Trump that turned out to be bogus and bullshit, that there was no collusion. There was nothing. There was no collusion between Donald J. Trump and the Russians, nor anybody in his campaign and the Russians. And for 20 years now, we have to accept now, after an hour and a half investigation, that nothing with Dianne Feinstein and Eric Swalwell with Chinese spies? Oh, my God. There's something do the nasty Pelosis despise America that much? Are they that greedy? Are they that much of a whore that they're looking for monetary gains, and they're willing to push aside everything that America stands for? I mean, this is what's happening. Honest to God, this is what's happening. These people have sold out the United States of America for the almighty dollar or the almighty won. Wow. Wow. It is incredible what we're witnessing today. I never thought we'd ever see this in our lifetime. Never.
Yeah, let's see. President Biden took the reins, what, in
January 20th. Yep.
We're now May 30th, so January, February, March, April. That's like 4 months.
Yeah.
Give or take a few days. And our country's
yep.
gone to shit in less than 5 months. Holy mackerel!
But think of Biden has the powers to be that are pulling Biden's strings have worked to erase all that was put in place by President Trump, including a tax cut that spurred the U.S. economy. A tax cut that brought business in and how business started investing in America. And business was talking about manufacturing, 400,000 manufacturing jobs brought in since 2018 after losing 7 million, okay, 7.2 million during the feckless Biden time while he's been in office for, what, 48 years. America's lost 7 million manufacturing jobs since Biden has been in the United States government. And in less than 4 years, President Trump brought back 400,000 of those by changing the tax code, by Congress passing a tax reduction, and now dictator Joe Biden is going to increase the corporate tax from 21% to 28% or higher, maybe 31%, and he's going to raise taxes on those individuals making more than $400,000 a year. Not to mention the tax increases that we've already seen since January 20th, 2021, with the raising of gas prices in the United States, which absolutely raise taxes on each and every American who drives a vehicle in the United States of America, irrespective of your earnings. God almighty, this is incredible. It is truly incredible what we are seeing today. And there's no outrage. The media is burying every story. The DNC media is loving the fact that they have a feckless fraud in the White House who says nothing, who trips over his own tongue, and yet he's not held accountable for his lies, for his irrational and extremism.
Yep. I mean, you kind of nailed it last week when you said that you were talking to friend or acquaintance, and they said that, well, gosh, you know what they like about now? Things are much more quiet, meaning in the paper, and they like the quiet. The quiet meaning that there's not story after story against Trump.
Yeah, and whose fault was that? That was all by design. It was all by design. It was the DNC media who was fabricating and manufacturing stories in order to create a chaos that truly wasn't there. All because America was actually on the right track. And in 4 years, Donald Trump managed to do what all these blowhards made promises to do over the last 50 years that did not happen. They used and abused the American people. They used and abused the American taxpayer. They used and abused our tax coffers for their own personal gains. And Donald Trump managed to put it all back in perspective and show that America is the greatest country in the world and has the ingenuity to do better than any other country in the world and remain competitive and be a leader. Not lead from behind, not be mediocre, but be a leader, a true world leader. And you know what? Along the way, you pay your fair share. You want America to be part of NATO, and you call for 1% of your GDP or 2% of your GDP to be funding NATO, it doesn't mean the United States pays 4%. This isn't a class envy issue. It doesn't mean that Italy pays 0.5% and France pays 1%. Germany pays 1%. It means you pay 2% if you want to be part of NATO. How hard is that to understand? In the meantime, Obama, Bush 1, Bush 2, America's paying 3, 4, 5% of GDP. And somehow that's wrong. It's an insult to our allies to make them pay more. No, excuse me. Excuse me. The NATO charter calls for all NATO nations to pay 2% of their GDP, not 0.5% and not 4%. And now we entered the Paris Accord, and America is going to pay the lion's share of this $80 trillion boondoggle over the next 80 years? This is insanity. And Trump exposed this insanity. And boy, I'll tell you, they made sure they're erasing everything Trump has done. Including energy independence. That's what really gets me. I just 33,000 jobs gone. Boom on January 22nd. As soon as the buffoon Biden mentions he's going to nix the Keystone Pipeline, and then he allows the Russian pipeline to go into Germany. He cites some bullshit story here about the environment, and you're talking about the biggest polluter, one of the biggest polluters in the world is Russia. Holy shit. I mean, it makes absolutely zero sense. It's like we're living in an, I'm waiting for a beam me up Scotty moment. Wow. Did we miss something along the way, Al? I mean, did we miss something?
We've seen too much. Help me unsee everything I've seen.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. It's truly incredible what we're seeing today. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And we haven't even gotten into the racial divisions.
Oh.
Now they're dividing racially. We haven't even touched on that. That's a whole nother field of play that's happening.
Well, and they're using the United States military for that reason as well. I mean, this is what the Department of Defense already has, an Office of Diversity and Equity and Inclusion. Really? The Department of Defense? The Department of, the military is used to kill things and break things. Okay? And it's to protect our nation, our borders. But now we have an Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And this Bishop Garrison that was tapped by Lloyd Austin is a cancer. And that's how come we've got this CEWG and these 18 extremists, these 18 anti-Americans that have been put forth to be part of this countering extremism working group. It's all part of this Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and it's run by Bishop Garrison, who is – this is insane. I'm telling you, the American people, there's going to be a point where we're going to say enough is enough. And I tell you, I hope it's the 2022 election where it starts and we start ridding these extremists, these anti-Americans, these fucking communists. We need to get them out of office. This is not America, man. This is not American. This is not what our families, what our fathers fought for, what our grandfathers fought for. This is psycho stuff, man. This Biden is a fucking psycho.
He's a Marxist. He's doing what Marxists are doing. It's no mystery. I don't understand how they can not like a republic form of government where people have the freedom to do what they want, less government. Maybe I don't get it, but unless it's their business. Government is their business. Hell, all the corruption with the Bidens. In fact, there's even a story that came out today about Hunter where he was bragging that he was smoking crack with Mayor Barry. You remember him from D.C.?
Oh, yes.
Marion.
Yeah. Yes.
There was something on the laptop that leaked where he was bragging about smoking crack with Barry. I mean, Barry's now dead, I guess, from 2014. But that story's leaking. Nobody seems to care.
Yeah, nobody seems to care. I mean, this media, and that's why you've got dictator Biden who wants to put the reins on OAN and Newsmax. Why? Because people are turning there, and they're looking for more objective news, not this bias. Cover-up news, and they understand that the DNC media is nothing but a cover-up media, from DNC CNN to DNC MSNBC to DNC ABC. All of these things are so slanted. It's unbelievable how they start their shows, how they start their news, and they start their news with excusing this radicalism from the chief Marxist, you know, dictator Joe Biden. And communist Kamala, you know, cackles, sits there and says something stupid. And, you know, the people, obviously Twitter is good and bad, okay? And she took it on the chin of this one. You know, the backlash on Twitter was incredible. And I'm sure Jack Dorsey is trying to find a way to silence the opposition, you know, against communist Kamala. But unfortunately, it happened so quick that he can't. And you know what? She deserved to get beat up on Twitter. She deserved it. This mindset of, I want to be your friend and, oh, it's a long weekend. Oh, no. This isn't a celebratory time. We should be thankful for our men and women who gave their lives in the United States military to keep us free, so that we have freedom of speech that you're trying to suppress and abridge, that we have freedom of religion that you're trying to abridge. And we watched this last year, how the freedom to peaceably assemble has been abridged. Arresting people for going to church. You know, families can't even gather. Oh, well, you shouldn't gather for Thanksgiving. You shouldn't gather. Well, maybe by the 4th of July. Well, you know what? 135,000 people showed up at the Indianapolis 500. Here's a big F you to the dictator Joe Biden and the suppressors in the Biden regime. Oh.
We're so doomed.
I'm telling you. I just found this. I was looking for the one I forgot about, Ali Sufan, part of this countering extremism working group, and I remember seeing it, but Ali Sufan is also an overt Qatari asset, overtly working for Qatar. I mean, this is insane. This is insane. This needs to be exposed. This is insanity. This radicalism that is being put forth by this administration, it should not be tolerated.
Yeah, these are all the people that, with the Abraham Accords, these are all
yes.
the victims that did not participate in it and did not sign agreements with Israel. But all the ones that did have been rejected by the Biden administration. Instead, the Biden administration has embraced Iran, Qatar now, obviously, bringing in their people, and then all the other ones, the whole brotherhood.
God.
Whatever Trump did, they're doing the opposite. They don't give a shit.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
Thank
all
God
right.
for golf.
Yeah, thank God for golf. It's always good to start a little lighthearted on Mondays. This is nuts, man. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Sue, thank you for tweeting out the show again. I appreciate that. And then, I hope you're doing well. And Al, I'll talk to you later this week.
You be good. Have a great week.
Thank you. You as well.
Adios.
All right. And as soon as I find it, where the heck is it? I'm trying to find it. I want it. There we go. All right. Good night, folks.